Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of Arizona State Parks and Trails Podcast. If you've taken camping trips in the past, you know one of the trickiest parts when it comes to planning can be the food. Well, imagine that you camp full-time, sometimes in very remote places, and that you have super limited kitchen space. You'd have to get very good at meal planning and campsite cooking, right? That's why we've invited our guest on the show today, Lexi with Rome Lab. Lexi and her husband Chris have been traveling full-time since 2015, and they've learned tons of tricks when it comes to cooking at the campsite. Lexi teaches us about provisioning for your camping trip meals, hacks to make campsite cooking easier, how to manage your fire for even heat distribution and optimal cooking, and she even shares some of her favorite recipes. We promise that you'll feel more confident cooking at the campsite after listening to this episode. We also promise that the amazing food Lexi describes might make you a little hungry. So grab a snack for this one and let's dive into the show.
All right, Lexi, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here.
Man, we're pretty stoked too. I mean, we're going to talk about living out of a camper today. We're going to talk awesome camping food items. And, we're just kind of excited to get a little insight into your exciting life.
I'm glad that it sounds that way. Sometimes you get kind of used to what your life is like. And then you talk to a friend, they're like, oh, that's really interesting. I was like, oh, well, maybe I should be sharing this.
Yeah. And you do, Lexi. We'll be sure to link to this in the show notes, but for the listeners, be sure to check out Lexi and Chris's Instagram account and their website, because you have a great blog too, sharing your adventures. You go all over the place.
Oh, thanks. I mean, we enjoy hitting a lot of different locations, though. Of course, those Arizona state parks are something extra special. We always enjoy coming through. Probably we'll hit one or two most years, especially we like coming through in the winter because it's nice and warm. Well, so long as you stay in the right area, sometimes it can get a little cold.
That's right. Yeah, I saw you guys recently stayed at Lost Dutchman State Park in mm-hmm. Apache Junction. And it looks like you spent some time in Dead Horse Ranch too.
Yeah. We got to do a little paddling over there in Dead Horse Ranch. And oh my goodness, every time we come back to Lost Dutchman, it is just... you get surprised and delighted anew. And so that's just a wonderful place to come back to and explore and really recreate. And then also maybe have a nice little campfire dinner while you're there too.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Lost Dutchman's a great place to kind of show you how alive the desert it really is.
You're absolutely right. When we were there, there was a moment where I was looking out the roof hatch, because I guess I should clarify, we have a truck camper that we travel around in, and there's a lovely little roof hatch at the top. And every once in a while, I'll open it up and I'll look out and I'm just peeking around. I want to get a nice picture of the Superstition Mountains because the sun was coming down. And I look to my left and there's a coyote just walking by.
Nice.
And it was just a delightful little piece of nature. Walking to the bathroom and there's a roadrunner. Wonderful. The last time we were there, we hiked up the Flatiron. And that was, I guess, to segue into meals and cooking and everything. That was one of those fun ones where we planned a lot ahead. We're just like, we're going to do this really involved hike. So we want to eat really well. So we had pancakes in the morning and then we get back. We're like, okay, now we got to refuel after that big undertaking. And that's one of the fun things about campfire cooking is you're out camping, you're out in nature, you're probably doing these really cool activities. And that active life means you also need to have that food to fuel you while you're doing it. So whether you're mountain biking or hiking or paddling or fishing or hunting or any of those kinds of things, it's nice to be able to come back and refuel after a really active day.
And, you know, I've taken a look at your Instagram page. You have some reels that are, you know, campfire cooking related. And these things look absolutely delicious. I mean, you guys are cooking crabs out there and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, from talking to you in the past and also drawing off of some of my own outdoor experience, if you prepare the right way, taking your meals to the next level while camping really isn't that difficult. It's just, I think people need to understand some of the intricacies of how to get there.
You're so right about that. I think that there's sometimes something can seem really intricate and actually be quite simple. So for example, in the provisioning process, when you're getting those foodstuffs, especially when you're looking at some of these camping trips, one easy hack is to get things that are pre-cooked so that you just warm it back up. So crab's legs, as you point out, it looks really fancy and it is a really fancy meal, but quite often when you're getting crab's legs, they are already cooked. And so all you have to do is warm them up, which is a much simpler proposition to do, because when you're if you're cooking over a campfire, there's so many nuances that's involved because you need to heat it up. You're not going to cook immediately. As soon as that flame gets going, you want to let it simmer down to the coals, have that nice, even cooking. And so that all of that process, it takes more time. So any meal that you might at home just turn on the stove, put a skillet on there, or put on a pot of water, and you know, half an hour later, you've got dinner. It's going to take a bit longer. It's going to take more planning. And so having these hacks to just to skip some of the process makes a huge difference. So crab's legs, hot dogs, a lot of other kind of pre-stuff. We'll sometimes get, say, one of those packets of carnitas, so that we can just be able to warm something up, maybe give something a char if it needs it, or just get it nicely cooked through. And then that's one part of your meal that you don't have to worry about so much. So yeah, those little elements of makes it so that you could have this impressive looking meal when really all you had to do was heat up some crab's legs and melt some butter, and bam, you feel like you're $1 million.
My husband and I joke that when we go camping, we at times eat better than we do at home. And I think that's kind of because we maybe have to prepare a little better. I think the success of cooking at your campsite comes in doing a little bit of prep at home. What are some other hacks that you'd recommend for preparing before you go out to the campsite? What should you try to think about when you're still at home before you head out?
Well, I think that's also goes to a very good point of, so often when we're eating at home, we can just go, oh, what do I want tonight? And just see what's in the fridge. But when you're going on a camping trip, it's important to remember that unless you have a really good refrigerator, and most of us don't, I have a cooler, an electric cooler. So it keeps things cool, but it's not super cold. So I know that a sell-by date isn't going to be as reliable as it would be at home, at somebody's home in a refrigerator. So if I'm buying meats or things that will go bad, I just know that, you know, a few, I'm not going to count on being able it to last for a week. I might seafood, I'm probably going to cook in a day, like pork or chicken, probably going to cook in two, unless it's frozen, of course. And then that, so having something frozen is a nice little hack. So if you're not going to eat a meat in the first 3 days, you probably want to have it frozen, because then not only does it last longer, but it's something that can actually contribute to the overall coolness of where you're keeping your perishables. And then also having those, having fallbacks. So, because look, sometimes you'll have that perfect planned meal and then it's raining. And so maybe you're not going to have that campfire you're expecting to have. And maybe you don't quite have a fallback in terms of being able to cook under a sheltered area, in which case you might want to be able to bust out some canned food or something else that's shelf stable or doesn't need heating. So those kinds of things to take in consideration. So for us, we generally provision option for maybe 3 days, though there are definitely times where we're looking at more like a week, just because then that allows us to push things back, have that flexibility of maybe we planned to have this meal, but you know, we're not really that hungry. We're going to eat lunch as leftovers. So having some degree of flexibility, having some degree of having things planned ahead, and also the element of knowing, okay, we've got I'm planning this dish, and knowing that you might only want to have a few things that could go bad. So, you know, say chicken, for example, like have a dish that's going to have chicken, but then maybe you want to make it so it's like chicken and rice instead of maybe chicken and a bunch of fresh vegetables that could also go bad, so that you have some moving parts that allow you flexibility for things going bad. I keep on coming back to that, but it's something that happened to us too many times.
So you learn from experience there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And just kind of being aware that, you know, I have this, you don't want to have too many resources that you have to be carefully managing. So something that will spoil, or something that is delicate, like tomatoes, peaches, delicate fruit, anything that can like crack or get broken. A few of those are wonderful to have, but too many of those, and now you're constantly worrying about resources getting destroyed. So we just like being able to have a few really nice things, and then to have a few stalwarts. So to also have the options of things that don't go bad. So some oatmeal, some rice, some different kinds of some granola bars, bread, and canned goods. So canned vegetables. We always have some canned green beans, some chili, some tuna, things like that. That we know that if I suddenly need some vegetables and, oh no, I'm out of vegetables, I've got the canned stuff too. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. Just having that variety of both fresh and shelf stable kind of gives you liberates you from being too tied to the schedule. Cause I think especially when you're camping, there's so many amazing things to do. And part of the fun is cooking, but part of the fun is getting out and hiking or whatever kind of activity you're out there for. So the last thing you want to go is say, it's 3 o'clock. I know we were having fun hiking, but we have to turn around right now because I need to have 3 hours to be able to get this whole thing cooked. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So true. One of my favorite parts about camping is that it's so freeing. You can really, it's good to have a couple ideas of activities you want to do around a very loose schedule. But when else in our lives do we get to do whatever we want, whenever we want? So having that flexibility is a really great piece of advice, because that's the beauty of camping.
Yeah, I think especially when it comes to a camping trip, a lot of it can also come down to how many days you're going to be out camping. So if it's a weekend, then maybe you are really carefully scheduling stuff because you want to be able to hit all of these different things. But especially once you've got, say, a week, then it's kind of nice to be able to say, like, okay, maybe one of these days, you know, we will have been doing a whole bunch of activities and we're going to want to have one just kind of lazy day by the campground. Maybe that is a day that you would have a big extravagant dinner because you're just relaxing. And so you would have 3 hours. Maybe you have a smoker or something that you can bring with you. However you're doing this, like, it's just that you can allow for you to have that luxury long day or that big meal, but to also allow to have those short ones. So, well, when I was talking about hiking over in Lost Dutchman, that day was a day that I was like, I want to have this be an everything day. So we had pancakes in the morning and then we hiked. And then by the time we got back, it was, you know, it's just starting to get dark. And I was like, okay, it's getting dark. This is the easiest time for me to cook, but that sunset is going to be amazing. So I'm going to warm up a little something for us to snack on, and we're going to enjoy the sunset. And I'll worry about dinner once it's dark, which I'd rather cook in daylight. It's a little bit easier, but who wants to miss that sunset? It's just too beautiful.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It's just too gorgeous.
Yeah. So I think that, so when it comes to allowing that kind of flexibility, having those different options, I think that's part of the reason why I also think that it's nice to have a wide range of recipe options. So when we're looking at things, you can be complicated, but I love it. If you're just starting with campfire cooking, there's nothing wrong with the hot dog. It's a wonderful way to start because you're really getting into, you're learning the mechanics of the fire. You know, if you've got a hot dog on a stick or on a toasting fork, you can get it in there amongst the coals, see how the heat is distributed, see how, like, you get it too close, you could have a totally blackened hot dog and it's cold on the inside. And so having those practical experiences kind of then gets you ready for going up to, you know, your next level of things where you could start playing around with some fun tools. Like I've got to admit, like I love the little kind of gadgets you can have around a campfire. So one of my favorite things that I don't have enough occasion to get to pull out and use, but every once in a while, it's my husband Chris' family had this thing. It's called a pie iron, but mm-hmm. they're also made still today. So it's not, this is an older one, but you know, you can buy them at a lot of places, and they're just kind of delightful. A lot of people use them with, you could just take some a piece of bread, make like a jam sandwich to make a pie, but also I like using it to make quesadillas because you could just take the tortilla, put some cheese, put some meat of your choice, and some other little additions, and wrap it up, put in there, and you could just cook it over the fire almost like you would your marshmallow or your hot dog, but it's in this little iron that kind of distributes the heat.
We called them pudgy pies when I was a kid. Have you heard that term too?
I've heard of pudgy pies. Yeah.
And for people who aren't used to, who maybe haven't seen one of these before, think of like a carry out clamshell container where the top clips down onto the bottom, but that's made in like cast iron and it's attached to a stick so they can shove it into the heat. And yeah, I love what you're saying, Lexi. It's so versatile. You could put anything in there and it just becomes caramelized and hot and delicious.
It's a beautiful little alchemical transformation that happens where you take something so simple, like a jam sandwich, and suddenly it's a pie. And those are particularly like kid friendly. So it's something that anybody can do. You just want to be a little careful that you don't burn your fingers when you take anything out. Yeah. But I like those. Grilling baskets, you can get them with a little handle so you could grill a sandwich or more involved things depending on how you want to do it. And tin foil is just a classic, such a simple way to cook something where you can just, sometimes we just do green beans, olive oil, salt and pepper, wrap it up in tin foil, set it just off to the side in the fire. And while you're worrying about everything else, that's just cooking away. You don't need to be doing too much to it. It's just there doing its thing, warming up, cooking through. You can do that with so many things. Even you can make
potatoes.
Potatoes.
Yeah, the best potatoes I ever had are always cooked in the coals, you know, wrapped in aluminum foil. It's amazing how, and you know, things taste better out there anyways, but just a little
best
bit of
sauce.
Char. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing, but very versatile stuff. We've also
Absolutely.
Thrown, you know, trout and bacon, some lemon and butter in tin foil, wrapped it up and throw it in the coals too. And it's absolutely delicious.
That I love the fish is always a fun one to be able to do too. I often do it with like salmon and some, and like you said, lemon. And then you can also, and what's nice about that is you can also then throw in a veg with it. So I'll do like asparagus and salmon and lemon, and you could just all in one packet right there in the coals. So simple.
So yep. easy. And if you prep at home, you can cut all of those. You know, we would do these like tin foil packets with like meat or veggie, chop up an onion and potatoes. And then we'd literally cover the whole thing in ketchup and mustard and then throw it over the fire. And it was like as delicious as it gets. But
yeah,
if you take the time, it was a real good meal. You'd like it. But if you take the time to cut up those veggies at home, all you're doing is throwing everything together. In fact, you could just double foil those packets. And then when you're there, it's a matter of throwing them on the fire, which can be tricky. And you mentioned that before, Lexi. So, you know, even if you have all the ingredients, you do still want to kind of understand how to use the fire. I mean, the inclination is you light it up and you see the flames getting nice and high. And if it's your first time, you might think, well, this is a healthy looking fire. I guess I'm ready to go. I'm going to throw my stuff on. And it doesn't really, it's not the most effective at that stage. So tell us what we're looking for.
Well, I think that is a really good point. And when it comes to a campfire, I've got to say, like, it's beautiful when it first starts up. You've got those beautiful flames. But I consider that to be, that's the picture taking time. It's beautiful. You've got the flames, it's colorful. But as you let it burn down, you start making these wonderful hot coals. And so as that wood kind of transitions from, you know, where you're really seeing the bark, and now it's really glowing inside and it starts to chunk and break down. Like, that's when you've got a nice, even heat. And if you're in a developed campground where you've got you can have a nice grill that you can lower down on that for some nice grilling, and being able to have that easy setup, it's the patience. And it can be hard, which is why you have to plan ahead when you're going to do campfire cooking. You just have to accept that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to just click it on like in my kitchen. I'm going to have to wait and have that patience and get ahead of it, which doesn't have to be a hard thing, because, man, having that campfire is just part of the experience. So you get that campfire going, everybody can hang out around it, tell some stories, decompress. Maybe you're having a cold beverage or something, just kind of relaxing before you get down to business, because probably you had an active day. It was really busy and now you're kind of a little worn out. Take your time. You don't have to start cooking right away. Just enjoy that fire, enjoy those flames. And then when it's cooked down and you've got those coals, that's when you start cooking.
The wildflowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and the bass are biting. Springtime in Arizona is here. Take advantage of one of the most beautiful times of year with a state park adventure. If you're anxious to get on the water, head to one of our four parks along the Colorado River for all the swimming, boating, fishing, and water sports you've been dreaming about. Or, if you're craving cool mornings, comfortable afternoons, and evenings around a cozy campfire, head to higher elevations in northern Arizona like Dead Horse Ranch State Park, Fool Hollow Lake, or Lyman Lake State Park. Remember to bring your binoculars to make birding and wildlife viewing even more exciting. And don't miss out on the breathtaking wildflower blooms that a wet winter in Arizona has gifted us this spring. See the desert decorated in a colorful robe of golden poppies, vibrant blue lupins, stunning red tuberosas, and so many more with a visit to Picacho Peak, Lost Dutchman, or Catalina State Park. Please protect the habitat by staying on trails and taking photos instead of wildflowers so that others may enjoy the vibrant show. Plan your springtime adventure at azstateparks.com.
And I love your earlier suggestion about testing out the coals with a hot dog. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the perfect way to become familiar. You're not wasting money on a nice steak or something. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, hot dogs are relatively cheap, but you can see how evenly it'll cook, which parts of the fire are going to be hotter and stuff, and then you'll kind of learn how to section off different parts of the coals if you're cooking different things sometimes.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like once you're starting to get really comfortable, once you've done this a few times and you're really understanding the coals, you can start rearranging them. One of my favorite things to use for cooking is I love a Dutch oven. They give you so much versatility, but yep. You know, so a Dutch oven is kind of, most people would know what I'm talking about, but especially the camping style ones, you'll have the Dutch oven, which is like a pot with a lid, but the camping style ones will also have little legs on them that'll kind of lift them up above the surface if need be. And then we'll also, the lid will have a little rim along the edge. And the reason for that rim along the edge is so that you can actually set coals on top of the lid so that you can be having cooking both from the bottom when you're setting it on the coals, but also cooking from the top. And so that's how you get your oven effect. And it's not a thing that I started right away, you know, start with, you know, the simple stuff, but man, once you start getting to play around with the Dutch oven, there's so many options out there. It's great.
Yeah. You can cook roasts out there, like all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff, like cakes in the Dutch oven. Casseroles.
We've got a great program at the parks called the Arizona Family Camping Program. And it basically takes families who have been interested about camping, but haven't done it before. Maybe they don't have all the gear. They're, you know, like, where do you get started? They can actually sign up and come out with us. And one of our rangers provides all the equipment and then gives them instructions on different things, from setting up a tent to hiking, to fishing, kayaking, all these fun outdoor activities. And one of them that they consistently do every camp out is making monkey bread in their Dutch oven for breakfast.
Oh,
and
fun.
It's like the hit of the campground, and it's so good. And it's a really great way to understand heat distribution, using your coals, and plus it's a really fun piece of gear.
Yeah. Well, and I think especially like when you're baking, that's one of those particularly challenging things, because you want to bake it through. I remember early on, there's a fun little thing where you can take your hot dog game to the next level, where you know how there's those, that crescent dough that can be used that you can just buy and roll out and use to make crescents. Well, you could also wrap that around your hot dog, and now you've kind of got a pig in a blanket situation.
Yum.
But it's a really good lesson in taking your time and not rushing and really seeing in real time the difference in direct exposure, because now you're trying to bake something directly over live coals, and it's very hard to get that evenly done. But it's, once again, just one extra step in an abstraction in learning how to cook something through when you're dealing with this heat, which can be a little bit of a different experience.
Yeah.
I also wanted to throw it back, because you'd mentioned about the pre-packing those packs to be able to bring with you. And I think that especially when you have a full kitchen available to you ahead of time, it's really valuable to take advantage of that, because look, cooking can be messy. And when you're camping, that mess can be extra difficult to clean up, because you may or may not have easy access to water. You may be making a mess and then you have to tote all your stuff over to where there's a water spigot to clean, or you have to carry water over to be able to clean up. And so sometimes it's nice for your extra messy things to be able to do in advance, or things that require extra processing. So for example, if you're making something that involves mincing or blending, so a good example would be a marinade. If you wanted to make a marinade, a really nice hack is do the marinade ahead of time. If you have to use a blender, blend it ahead of time. So one of my favorite recipes, because when you're cooking, once again, heat and getting things evenly cooked is always the challenge. One of your nice hacks is always going to be, instead of trying to cook like a big thick steak right off the bat, which can be really hard, to do things smaller. So like a kebab, do things on the skewers where you're cubing your meat. And so a nice thing you can do is you cube up your meat ahead of time, you make your marinade ahead of time, you put it all in a baggie. And heck, if you're not going to be cooking it right away, go ahead and freeze it. And so you now have a meat that is already marinating, that is all that initial prep has been done. And now it's also cold. So you could bust that out 4 days into your camping trip, and it's going to be an easy cook. It's already marinated through. Pretty much all of your work was already done. You just thread that meat, maybe with some onions, some other veggies, some green peppers, and some tomato. Thread that onto some skewers, and now you've got some nice, easy grilling that you can do, and where you can really see the process of the grilling and see like, okay, this is looking good. Whereas sometimes a thicker piece of meat is a bit of a black box, especially for early on.
Mm-hmm, right. And who doesn't love a kebab? I mean, they're always a treat, whether you're at home grilling or at the campsite. It feels so fancy. Throw some pineapple in there and you've got sweet char on it. So good.
Yeah. Just and just infinitely mixable depending on what you like. Do you want mushrooms? Do you want something more savory? Do you want something more sweet? It's just it's also a very handy kind of near the end of your camping trip option, where you go like, oh, look, we've got this leftover onion. We have this leftover tomato. We have this leftover pineapple. Let's just put them on a skewer and make them something delicious by just giving them that extra char. So that's I think that's one of the nice things, too, is to just allow to have a few things at the end that you can just do leftovers with. But when you're just, because by the end, if you're on a longer camping trip, by the end of your camping trip, you maybe look, some people have endless amounts of energy. For me, at a certain point, there's always going to be that lull where I'm just like, okay, I'm tired. I need something simple. And so it's nice to be able to go like, you know, I've got some, we had leftover steak from last night. And so one of my favorite things to do is I'll often have potatoes around, or sometimes I'll even have proper hash browns, but sometimes I'll just do this with potatoes because I almost always have leftover potatoes because I love potatoes. And so then you can chop up the potatoes or use some hash browns. And I love to do this eggs hash in the morning where technically I'll say bacon. Do the bacon with the hash browns and some onions and everything like that. But honestly, like whatever meat you have left over, mix in with potatoes and then crack some eggs on top and cook it. And you've got a great breakfast and you got to use some leftovers, which is always nice not to have to waste anything.
Yum. You're totally right. I love to, when I'm planning out my meals, to think about ingredients that I can use for multiple dishes so that I'm not buying like 8 ingredients. I'm buying 4, but they apply to 2 different meals. And what I love what you said too about the kebabs being customizable, because yeah, if you have a range of ages, maybe the kids aren't going to want the mushroom, but you definitely do want the mushroom. I like doing breakfast burritos for the same reason, because it's like mix and match and people can put whatever in there they like.
Yeah, that flexibility just makes a world of difference to be able to be shifting things around. And also to your point of like having lots of ingredients, I think that's one of the nice things about planning ahead and doing some things early on, because so one of my favorite recipes for a kebab involves parsley. You know, it's a pain to be traveling with parsley and garlic and everything like that. So most of the time when I'm traveling, I'll have salt, I'll have pepper, I'll have garlic powder, and maybe a few other things, maybe some cinnamon or something. But I keep my larder fairly simple. And then, but I know that sometimes if I've got something big planned, I can plan ahead for something and bring those more involved pieces together. So especially if, say, like I'm staying at a friend's place and they may have that very large spice rack that I don't travel with. And so I can throw something together and be like, I'll have this when we're on the road and it'll be a nice little treat because I don't usually have that amount of things. Cause we have a very limited amount of space, which most people do when they're out camping. And so we try to be economical with what are the materials that we have. So in terms of how we travel and the gear that we have, we kind of separate everything into a few different boxes. We've got our cooler where we've got all our perishables, things like your meats, your cold drinks, but of course arranging it, we'll always have like our cold drinks at the very bottom so they don't smash things, and we're going to have our eggs or any kind of fruits or vegetables that are going to get smashed. They need to be off at a corner where they'll be okay. We have a dry goods box, so for our rice, for oatmeal, for seasonings, things that are going to be fine. Kitchen gear, cutlery. These are things that I think are some of the easiest things to forget when you're going on a camping trip, because you've got all these really cool plans about what you're going to do. And then who thinks about a grater when they know that they're going to do something with lemon or whatever? And they're like, oh, nobody's thinking about needing the grater for the zest. The number of times we've lent somebody a can opener.
I was just about to say it. That's always the thing. It's like, dang, and you're hacking at it with a knife. It's just really inefficient.
you have this planned recipe. You have all your ingredients. You've got everything lined up, and then you forget the can opener. And now how do you get into that like key ingredient? Because it's there's that big wall of metal between you and dinner. So like being able to plan some of these ahead and go through your head and go like, okay, when I do this, what are the steps to get this done so that you remember? Cutting boards, I find, can sometimes be something that you can forget about, because ideally you probably don't want to be cutting your vegetables directly on a tape on an outdoor table or whatever. It's a nice thing to have. Measuring cups, another thing that can be easy to forget. And then another thing is just I like to remember to keep my sanitation box well provisioned. So remembering to have like a garbage bags, paper towels, soap, wet wipes, things like that are just going to make life so much easier if you have some of those things ahead of time. Because especially if we love to camp out in these more remote areas and quite often we'll be in an area where there's not a trash bin nearby. And it's really important to be responsible about packing out everything that you pack in. You're bringing in all the things that you need. Make sure to also bring them back out with you as you're leaving the park. And because we want to leave everything nice and clean. And yeah, because these are beautiful parks and we're privileged to be part of it.
Right. And not all, food waste is good just to throw out there. I mean, people think, oh, it's organic. It's food waste. So I can just throw it out there and the animals will take care of it. Well, a lot of times that's not the case, so it's a good practice just to bring any leftover stuff with you back home or find a receptacle in the park or wherever you're at.
I'm glad Absolutely. You mentioned that, Neil. The things like apple cores and orange peels or banana peels, those are commonly thought of as being, oh, this is biodegradable waste, so I'm just going to leave it out here. And they take a lot longer to break down than you think. And they also attract animals to places that they shouldn't be. Great point. Take all that stuff with you.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be hard. You brought it in, so it's not that hard to take it back out.
Yeah, it's not hard at all.
And if there's anything that Neil loves, we've talked about this in podcasts before. He loves a good organization box. We've talked about this a million times over. And have your kitchen box and always keep it stocked. Clean things out at the campsite or the second you go home, wash them and put them right back in. Don't leave them out because then you've made it so easy for yourself.
A good way to get stuff for your camping kitchen box is like, we were talking about can openers earlier and I immediately thought of our other one because our other one was kind of old, it still worked pretty well, but we're like, well, let's buy a new one. And then just took the old one that was still functional and then put it directly in the camping box.
We did the same thing, Neil. Take your backup stuff and put it. If you had, my husband and I were going for pots and pans and we've been married for 11 years now. We're like, hey, we've got all of our original stuff here. Stuff is just starting to, handles are getting loose and things like that. They're still usable. We're going to put them in the camping box. Yeah.
And having that box, we have a camper, we could put it in a drawer, but the nice thing about having it in a box is it's easy to just pull it out, bring it to the outdoor table, do all the setup, and then also break down. Because if it's hard, you're probably not going to do it. And so if cleanup is hard, you're probably going to leave stuff out. And when you leave stuff out, that's attracting the animals. So just make life easy by having those easy modular solutions to get things in and out.
Yeah. I even use the top of it as a prep area. Yep. It's perfect for that.
I have a water kettle that I'll use after the meal is over. We've already cooked, but the coals still have some heat before we put it out. We'll actually heat up some water in a kettle and we'll use that to wash our dishes. We've got two bins and we'll have clean water in one and soapy water in the other. And I don't know about you guys, but there is not much worse than cleaning up dirty dishes in cold water at night when it's dark out. Your fingers are just, it's just miserable. It's not a fun moment.
Yeah. Luckily, some of the parks have outside dishes or outside sinks that you can use, like attached to the restroom areas. And those are so nice to go over there and do dishes after cooking because, everything's right there. You're not having to worry about dirt and stuff like that. When it's clean, it's clean.
Mm-hmm. And those are some nice size sinks. It does make such a difference to have that extra space.
That's true. If you don't, just think about those things that can help make it easier because having a kettle to warm water up in and using the top of your outdoor kitchen box to set that water down on and clean, that could be the difference between you cleaning the dishes right away versus you putting them in a box, closing it up, putting it back in the car, waking up in the morning, everything is crusted over and now you don't want to cook for breakfast and it's just this domino effect. So if you make it easier, you'll do it.
It's such a good rule of thumb. Just like if it's don't make anything harder than it has to be. Sure, you could do it this like in another way, but you know, whatever you can do to make it easier is what's going to probably lead to you doing the things that you were intending to do in the first place. So, because yeah, you're outside, it's a different space. You're going to forget things, you're going to cut corners. And so it's just good to make it as easy as possible to you, do your setup, do your breakdown, keep things clean, keep things orderly, because after a week at a campsite, things can be chaos. It's so easy to lose stuff. And then that's a pain. So avoid the frustration, avoid the confusion, and just have a place for things.
Yeah. Yeah. Your future self will thank your present self.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. This is great advice. And at the end of the day, it really is just about having a great time out there, enjoying nature, and making the most that you can with your time, creating beautiful memories with your friends and family, and experiencing the peace and serenity, which just isn't cutting and chopping up vegetables when your fingers are freezing and trying to find places to put your garbage. So yeah, plan ahead and make it fun.
Yeah, it gives you more time to experience the outdoors, you know, just take care of stuff at home and then just finish it up at the campsite.
This should be fun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Bottom line. So Lexi, before we wrap up here, can I have one of your favorite easy recipes and one of your favorite gourmet recipes for our listeners to try no matter what level they're at?
Okay, so I guess this can be a tough one to go and pick something, but for something really simple, I find something that has like a really good payoff is going to be what has you hooked. And so, and at least for me, I have a sweet tooth. So I find having something sweet really makes a difference. So I think that if you want something simple that feels more involved, there's nothing quite like a fruit crisp. So so you could do an apple crisp, you could do anything like that, but it's just very simple because you can use a canned fruit, because a lot of those fruits come in a syrup already. So they're already sweet. So you can get like canned apples in a syrup. They're sweet. Open up the can. You can take the apples, put them in, have a piece of tin foil, you know, put the apples that you want in there, have a mix of flour and oatmeal. And you can, with some chopped up bits of butter, and you can blend that together, sprinkle it on top of your fruit, wrap it in your tin foil, and then stick it in the fire. And the nice thing is you could get that just off to the side on the fire. And so while you've got dinner cooking and while you're eating dinner, your crisp is warming up, it's cooking, and it's staying nice and warm. Cause that's one of the big challenges, of course, when you're cooking, is that you finish one thing, and then while you're finishing something else, that's getting cold. So being able to have something that by design stays nice and warm, it's not requiring anything, and it's just nice and sweet, and you can throw in whatever fruits really are appealing to you, or mix some. Like I like to have some apple. Oh, and the other nice thing about having it be canned along with it being sweet is it's already pretty broken down. So it doesn't have to cook forever. You're not going to wind up with the apples will be cooked and soft.
That's such a great idea. If you cut up an apple and you put it on the fire, even if you do it at the beginning of the meal, chances are it may not be, you're going to be crunching on some apples by the end of it still. So that's great advice.
Yeah. Love a great crisp apple. It's delightful to have, especially in the middle of a hike, and you know, you need that extra bit of moisture and sweetness while you're hiking. But at the end of the day, it's kind of nice to have that soft apple. So yeah, using canned fruit is just very simple and easy. And it means that it's your threshold of messing things up is lower. And so it's always kind of the nice thing. Keep things simple, keep things easy.
I love that you explained that too, because I guarantee some listeners at the beginning, the second you said apple crisp, they're like, oh man, I'm out. That's like too much. But you're literally talking about a can of pie filling, and you're talking about at home mixing up the flour, oatmeal, and you know, brown sugar or your butter at home, and then put it in a little jar or a little Tupperware. And it's 1-2 foil. That's it. That's all you're talking about.
So simple.
Yep. Love it.
And personally, like, you can throw in the brown sugar if you really like the brown sugar. I find that like, because you've got the syrup already in with the fruit, then that kind of bubbles up. And so that winds up also being that sweetening thing. But
need it.
And my problem is I don't use brown sugar enough, so I can't justify keeping keeping it in my thing, in my setup. But yeah, if you have brown sugar, wonderful thing to add too. Yeah, it's just, it's simple. And once again, like the more simple you can keep things, the less error prone it is, the less you're going to be upset and frustrated at the end of the night when all you should be doing is just relaxing.
I love it. So, okay.
Yeah.
You've mastered the pie crisp. Maybe you're a little more advanced and you're like, all right, give me a challenge, Lexi. Like, what's the dish that's going to blow away the campers who came with me? And I'm like, look at this bad boy. You're not even eating this good at home, are you?
So I feel very conflicted. There's so many different ways one could go, but I had mentioned before kebabs. I really love a good kebab. And one of my favorites is a lamb kebab. And what really kind of blows it out of the water is the fresh elements that you can really capitalize in the kitchen ahead of time. So with this, you've got cubed lamb, which can be a heck of a project. So it's nice to be able to do that when you have a full kitchen. But then you can take onion, garlic, parsley, lemon juice, and zest, allspice, salt, and olive oil, things that I'm not normally just keeping in the camper because it's, or taking to the campground because it's involved. But when you've got access to a full kitchen, it's easy to pop those things in the blender, blend it up nice into a really fresh, zesty marinade, put that in a plastic bag with the cubed with the cubed lamb, and you can stick that in the freezer if you're going to take longer, or just stick it in the cooler, and so it's marinating, it's doing its thing while you're having your wonderful camping adventures, and then you just thread those onto a skewer, put them over the campfire, and you can also toast up a little bit of pita bread to serve with it, and you've got just like a really fun, different flavor than you would necessarily have on a normal campsite camping trip. So I enjoy that one as like a special little delicacy.
Man, that sounds delicious.
I know. Tell Chris that we're stealing you. Yeah. You're coming with us on our next camping trip. I have to taste this, Lexi. It sounds amazing.
What do you have on tap next? You going any place cool soon? Or?
Oh, at the moment, let's see. I think we're going to head a little south to get to warm up a bit. We'll probably be skirting just by Lost Dutchman again. I think we're going to go over to Lake Roosevelt and that kind of area. I love bodies of water. It's just a really fun thing to explore. And then we're probably going to have to leave this beautiful state. And I think we're going to be heading to New Mexico, but still gorgeous place. But yeah, we'll be back pretty soon.
We know we'll be seeing you soon. That's exciting. Well, safe travels to you. We will be sure to link your Instagram account as well as your website. And specifically for our listeners, look for Lexi's campfire cooking guide that she has on Instagram. I'm going to link that. And it's so helpful. It's got everything from the basics of campfire cooking all the way to some of those fun, more gourmet meals that Lexi was kind of talking about.
Yeah, Lexi, I think that you've done a great job of, explaining to the listeners how to kind of take the dive into, elevated cooking in the campsite. And I know I'm excited about it, kind of re-energized me. Because I think, I look back on some recent trips and we've been kind of going the easy route lately. I've got four kids, so sometimes dinner time, is kind of like wham, bam, done so we can keep doing stuff. But I'll take your advice and I'm going to start doing a little bit better myself to get back into the semi-gourmet camp.
Make it part of the fun experience.
Yeah.
Just so long as it's fun, that's what matters most. You're out there to have a great time. So I hope that I can inspire some fun, but not too stressful options for the campground.
I think you have.
You've done it. Thank you so much, Lexi. We really appreciate it. And we'll be following along with your adventures.
Thank you very much.